Shaitan is trying to tickle you so that you can get up. No, I need you here. So that you can get up and go ahead and play and do something else that distracts you. We stopped last time when Qabil and Habil were running into an argument. They were arguing together. First of all, Qabil was very jealous from Habil because Habil was a golden heart. Habil was nice to everyone. Habil was kind to everyone. Habil was getting the recognition. Everybody wants to play with Habil. Everybody wants to be the friend of Habil. Qabil wasn't getting any attention. Qabil was mean. Qabil enjoyed meanness. Qabil wanted people to swallow his meanness so that he feels power over them. Qabil was really a bad guy. So everybody naturally, because this is what temptation does to us. Temptations makes us ugly, makes us selfish, makes us jealous, makes us greedy, and makes people run away from us, right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be, to adopt His manners. To adopt what? His manners. Which are what? Kindness, generosity, forgiveness, mercy, graciousness. All these manners are for Allah. Allah wants us to follow His manners. Don't follow the manners of who? The shaitan. So those who choose to follow the manners of the shaitan, they become ugly like the shaitan and people will hate them. And on the other hand, people who choose to follow the manners of Allah, they become lovely and sweet and people love them. So, Qabil was following the manners of the shaitan, arrogance, looking up to himself, looking down to others. He thinks that he's the best and he used to call himself the Qabil. The boy, the human, the man and the only one, is to be very selfish. He thinks that the earth should rotate around him. And now, he was extremely jealous of Qabil, of Habil, because Habil was much more successful than him. Was what? Much more successful with him. Why? Because he was much kinder and much nicer. And he had more friends and he was welcomed by everybody. Jealousy started like a spark. Jealousy started like a what? A spark in the heart of Qabil. Now Qabil's job, when the temptation, when the shaitan sparks a temptation in your heart, what are you supposed to do? Put down the fire by saying, "Audhu billahi minash shaitani rajim, takbir." Good job, Ahmed. So that, don't let the spark grow up to be a monster. Don't let the little spark grow up to be a what? Big monster. Big fire. Don't. At the beginning, it's under your control. At the beginning, it's what? If you let it grow, then you will be under the control of the temptations. Once you are under the control of the temptations, you are what? Gone. It will take control of you, your muscles, your brain, and use you to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, he didn't do that. Qabil, the bad guy, didn't do that. He followed his temptations. And what happened? That hatred started to build up in his heart. Started to what? Build up. Higher and bigger and more. More hatred. So, if the hatred in his heart to Qabil, to Habil, in the first day was 10, the next day it's 11. The third day, 12. It starts growing and growing, bigger and bigger, until he really, really hated his own brother. Now, what broke the fight between them was that Qabil was supposed to marry Habil's sister. Habil was supposed to marry Qabil's sister. Okay? Qabil's sister was cute. She was good looking. Habil's sister wasn't very good looking. He hated that. And then he said, why? Why Habil gets to marry the cute girl and I don't get to marry the cute girl? Why? Now, there is a trap here that the shaitan tries to get you. The trap of comparing. The trap of what? Comparing. Because basically what you're doing when you're comparing is to saying to Allah, Allah, you are not fair. Because who divides things among people? Allah. Who divides money among people and make some rich and some poor? Allah, who divides beauty among people and make some more pretty than others? Allah, who divides power among people and make some more powerful than others? Allah, who divides health among people and make some healthier than others? Allah. And then Allah divides, you know, gives somebody more in health, somebody else makes him more smart, somebody else makes him more good looking, somebody else makes him more rich. Allah divides things in a way that He sees fit because of His wisdom and knowledge. He knows us very well and He knows what is best for us. Should we trust Allah or we should say, no Allah, I don't like your division. I don't like what? You're not fair. What I want to do, I want to take from Muhammad, the smart, his brain. And from Lina, the cute, her beauty. And from Ahmed, his golden heart. And from Sarah, her brains. And her talent. And from this person, his money. And from that person, his what? House. So basically what I want to do, I want to pick the best in every person. I want to pick the what? And have it to all to myself. Have it all. I don't accept what Allah given to me. I want from every person the best he has. And I want to have the best in everything. And this is indeed, shaitan tries to get you into this trap so that you dislike Allah. And you, when you dislike Allah, then shaitan tells you, why do you pray? You want to pray to Allah? Allah wasn't fair with you. Allah did not give you money. He doesn't deserve to be prayed to. He should have given you money if he wants you to, if he wants to get any prayers from you. You shouldn't pray to him. Then he comes to you and says, oh, you know, he comes to you from these doors. Look, you see, so what happened that Qabil fell into that trap. And he started comparing and he got jealous and he got hatred. And then the fight started breaking. No, you're not marrying my sister. No. I will marry her because she is your twin sister. You can't marry her. Says, no, I don't care. I will marry her even if she's my twin sister. No, you can't. This is the rule established by who? Allah. I don't care. I need, you know, I'm not getting, you don't get every good thing and I get the leftover. I am getting what I want this time. I'm not going to let you take what I have. Okay. And then they started fighting. So, who was the king at that time? Adam. Alayhi salam. He was the king and the leader. So they went to him for asking him to judge between them. To what? Judge between them. To see who's right and who's wrong. So Adam alayhi salam started judging between them. After he heard both the stories, he told them, here is my verdict. You both submit a sacrifice to Allah. You both what? Submit a sacrifice to Allah. The one that his sacrifice is accepted is the good, righteous one. And he's right. And the one that his sacrifice is rejected, he's the bad one. Now, sacrifice means you sacrifice something for the sake of Allah. Which means you don't benefit from that thing. You don't what? Benefit from it. For example, if I have food, if I have what? Food. And I'm so hungry. And I sacrifice it for the sake of Allah. And instead of eating that food, I give it to who? Poor and needy. So I don't get to benefit from that food, right? Instead, I give it to somebody else. That's called sacrifice for the sake of Allah. Have money. And instead of using the money to buy toys, to buy house, to buy cars, to buy clothes, to buy this, I take the money and give it to the poor and needy and tell them, you go buy what you need because I am giving this money for the sake of Allah. That's called sacrifice. Now, we sacrifice by giving the poor and needy. By giving who?
The poor and needy.
At that time, there was no poor and needy. The human family was how big? Tiny. And the earth was so big and everybody was so rich. So, okay, how can they sacrifice? Then they can't sacrifice. Huh? So the way the sacrifice used to be at the beginning of time when there was no poor people, when there was no what? That they put the sacrifice at the top of the mountain. They put the sacrifice at the top of the mountain. And if the sacrifice is accepted, Allah will send fire from heaven to burn the sacrifice, which means that it is accepted. Because when it burns, can you use it?
No.
It's gone. Okay? Now, if the fire doesn't burn the sacrifice, it means it's not accepted. So, let's see what Qabil did, what Habil did. Habil was raising cattle. Qabil was a farmer. Habil went to his best cow. He got the best cow that he likes the most. The one that gives the most milk. The one that has the heaviest weight of meat. And he took that cow, the one that he wasn't willing to trade with anybody, because they used to trade. You give me one cow, I give you fruits for 1 month. They used to trade that way. So, that cow he was keeping to himself, he liked so much, and he wasn't willing to give it to anybody. When a time came to sacrifice for Allah, he picked the what? The best that he has, which is this cow. The cow that is so dear to his heart. And he picked that cow, and he slaughtered the cow, and he put the cow on the top of the mountain. And let me tell you something. On the old days, if you have meat and you leave it out for years, the meat will not become rotten. You can store meat, and you can eat meat, and the meat will not get spoiled. It wasn't until the children of Israel disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they stored the meat, even though He told them not to store it, and He made a monopoly on the meat market where Allah sent that germ that spoils the meat. So they stored all that meat and suddenly they came to find it all rotten. Nobody can eat it. And it was the first time ever the meat would get rotten. It was a punishment from Allah. And since that day until today, if you don't put the meat in the freezer, what happens?
Gets
spoiled. That's right. So at that time, by the way, he slaughtered the cow, he put it on the top of the mountain, and that's what he did. Now let's look at Qabil, the selfish, the greedy, the stingy, the cheap. He went into his land saying, okay, I want to sacrifice to Allah. Shaitan is telling him, why do you sacrifice to Allah? Every time he goes to a tree, like a mango tree, which is something precious at that time, says, no, I'm not giving this to Allah. He doesn't deserve it. Look what he has given to me. He wasn't fair with me. He gave Habil more than he gave me. No, I'm not giving him this. He goes to a banana tree. He says, no, I am not sacrificing this for Allah. He goes to all these nice trees, he says, no, I'm not sacrificing this to Allah. And then he walks around in his farm and he sees some weed. Some what? Weed. You know the weed? You know what it is? It's a plant that you cut and throw where? In the trash. So he said, oh yeah, that's good enough. That's good sacrifice. Is that a sacrifice?
No.
That's trash! Can you sacrifice trash?
No.
You can't sacrifice trash. When you throw, you get rid of trash. You don't sacrifice trash. So he picked up this trash and he grabbed it, put it all together, and he put it on the top of the mount. Of course, Allah accepted the sacrifice of who? And sent fire from heaven to burn the sacrifice of who?
Habil.
And Qabil, Allah did not, of course, accept his sacrifice. Now, when this happened, Qabil said, that's it. I am killing you. I am getting rid of you. Since you were born Habil, I never had a single happy minute. The only time I had happiness was before you were born. I am 2 years older than you. These 2 years were the best of my life. Since you are born and you're getting every good things from me. And now it is time for me to get rid of you and go back to become what? Happy again. You know what? This world would be much better to me without you. I will get all the attention. I will get... And also, this fire inside me, every time, this fire that is burning me every time I see you, is going to go away when I kill you and never see you again. You know what, Qabil? I had it. I had it. He tells him, I'm going to kill you. Habil replies and says, if you extend your hand to kill me, I will not extend my hand to defend myself. I'm trying to kill you. Because I fear Allah. He said, of course, you fear Allah. He has given you so much. But what he has given me to fear him, he hasn't given me anything. What did I get from him? I'm not fearing him. I'm not listening to him. I don't like his rules. And I am killing you. And then, one night, he was building up. And he was like getting so mad. And Habil was sleeping. He got a big rock. And he went where Habil is sleeping. And he dropped the rock on Habil's head. And he smashed his head. Habil died. Now, when the blood started coming out of the head of Habil, Qabil said, ha ha ha, yes, yes, I'm so happy that I got rid of you. Yes, let me now enjoy seeing you wasted. Let me enjoy seeing you disappearing. And then while he was watching him, and now the fire of jealousy is gone. The fire of jealousy is what? Gone. What remains after the fire of jealousy that was gone is the love, because that was his wife, brother. So the fire of jealousy is gone. Now the love that he had to his brother started to appear in his heart. So he felt this love again. This love that used to exist when they were kids playing together. And he remembered the good nice days when they were playing together, when they were chasing the cattle together, when they were chasing the animals together, when they were trying to catch the dogs and birds together. And then he was like, started looking at Habil like this, and all these memories start to go in his brain like a videotape. Like a what? Yeah. Videotape. And this stimulated the love in his heart towards his brother. And then he started crying. My brother, what have I done to you? See, the shaitan made him a monster. Shaitan made him a what?
Monster.
Because he killed his own brother, so he is a what?
Monster.
If somebody is killing his own brother, he's not any less than a monster. Actually, monsters don't kill their brothers. Monsters kill their prey and kill their enemy. But they don't kill their brothers. So he's worse than a monster by killing his own brother. Now, after Shaitan got what he wants, now he is regretting it. Oh my, I will never let any animal eat from your body. Now, he had a problem. Now his brother is dead. Anytime he leaves his brother, wild animals come to do what? Eat the flesh of his brother, right? Because wild animals are what? Hungry, looking for any dead body to what? To feed on, right? Right? Hyenas, lions, all these wild animals, wolves, foxes, they all are what? Hungry. They find a dead body, it's an easy catch, it's easy food. Dead body is what? Why dead body is an easy food? Huh, Ahmed?
Don't have to
they don't have to hunt. It's easy. It's just like you walk in the street, you find $10 on the ground. It's easy money. Why? I don't have to work for it. So every time Habil's just go away a little bit, they come, they want to eat the body of his brother. He says, go away! Don't eat my brother! He's my brother! Go away! Go away! And he, you know, scares him away. And then when he tries just to go anywhere, they come back. So what he used to do, he used to carry his brother with him. And go everywhere carrying what? His brother on his shoulder. Why? And remember, at that time the meat will not get rotten. So unless the animals eat the body of his brother, it's not going to disintegrate like now. It is still there. So he carries his brother everywhere where he goes. And, you know, he doesn't want to leave him. Why? Because he feels so sorry about what he did. But it is too late. He feels sorry because of the love in his heart, but he still doesn't feel sorry because he disobeyed Allah. So he feels sorry because of what?
Love
to the brother. Does he feel sorry because he disobeyed Allah? No. Does that count as repentance? You know repentance? Repentance is when Allah forgives you, when you do something wrong, and then there are three things you have to do. You have to really regret what you did. You have to make a promise to Allah, you will never do it again. And you have to ask Allah to forgive you. The fourth condition is, if it has to do about taking something from somebody, you give it back. If it's about hitting somebody, you say sorry. That's the fourth one. But Qabil did not repent, because he was just sorry for what he did to his brother, just because he was his brother. He wasn't sorry that he disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so that counts as repentance?
No.
Doesn't. Alright, so anyway, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to teach him a lesson. So while he was carrying the body of his brother, and it was a big burden on him, he can't go anywhere without carrying that body, he saw two, you know, loving birds, crows, okay, crow, yeah, one of them what? Died. So when one of them died, his spouse, he digged a hole in the ground, a big hole, and then he pushed, it was his wife, I guess, he pushed his wife into that hole, and then he covered her with dirt, with his legs. Like, he digged the hole with his beak, with the beak, and then he pushed her into the hole, and then he, with his leg, you know, covered the hole with dirt, and then he did like this. And he was watching, and he said, "Oh my God, this crow knows better than me. Oh my God, this little bird with such a tiny little brain knows better than me, the big guy. Couldn't I do just like this bird?" And he did it. He digged a big hole, he put his brother, and then he covered him with dirt, and then he put a rock on the dirt just to mark the place. To mark the what? Place. Now, who was the king and the judge at that time?
Adam.
Now, Qabil is afraid from going back to his dad. Why? Because his dad is going to punish him. Not only that, but he was so ashamed that he did not want to face his dad, his mom, or any of his brothers and sisters. Because they will call him the monster who killed his brother. And that was the first time anybody was ever killed. So, he kidnapped his twin sister that he wanted to marry. He kidnapped her at night, and he ran away down the valley. Adam was living first on the top of the what? Mountain. Okay, because when he went down from Jannah, Allah did not want to bring him from very high to very low. So he put him first on the top of the mountain. So that, you know, he goes down gradually after that. So they used to live on the top of the mountain with his children. So he kidnapped,
Nothing sounds stupid or anything, but isn't the space from a mountain to a valley so little compared to from
Yes. Yes. But it's like better than, you know, just one step down, you know, just at least, you know, better. Mm-hmm. That mountain also had lot and very nice weather, very similar to the weather of Jannah, and had lots of very sweet springs, scenic places, grass, green, trees, caves, so that he can live. I mean, until he builds his own homes, you know, until they build their own homes and all of that. All right, Sarah. All right. So what happened then is that he kidnapped his wife, and he ran away. Actually, she wasn't his wife, but his twin sister, and he ran away down to the mountains, down to the valley, and he married her. Now, here is the catch. And the shaitan blended this very well. Habil is a bad guy. and his sister, he was able to influence his twin sister to follow him. Why? Because he was the strong guy who hunts, and she's the weak lady who doesn't know how to hunt. Okay? He's the man of the house. He has an influence. It's not like now where the man of the house doesn't have any influence. Okay? It was in the old days where the man of the house, he's the one that has the big what? Big muscles. And muscles at that time were very, very important. Why? Because you needed muscle to hunt. You needed muscle to farm. Okay? If you don't have muscles to hunt, if you have muscles to farm, if you don't have muscles to fight, then you have nothing. So muscles at that time were very important. It's not like today where we have machines. We can farm with machines. Even your very weak, even little kid can farm with a machine. A little kid can hunt with a machine. A little kid can even fight with a machine. Drive a machine, war machine to fight, a tank or something. Okay? So you don't really need muscles. And now, to make money today, do you need muscles all the time? No. With just some little organization work, organization skills, and some kind of a brain here, you can make money. Good money. So in the old days, it wasn't like that. It was like, if Qabil is not hunting for his wife, is not farming for his wife, is not fighting wild animals and fighting any bad threats that might threaten his wife will be what? Dead. So he had a lot of influence on her. She was good at the beginning, but then she gave up and she started following him. So at the end, she became as bad as he was. Now, that's about who? His wife. Now, Qabil himself and his wife, both of them are bad. Now the children come. Now the children have only one source to learn from. Do they have a TV to learn from?
No.
Do they have an Islamic center to take classes at?
No.
Do they have a school?
No.
Do they have a society?
No.
Who is the only available source of education? Daddy. There was absolutely nobody else available. Why? Because, remember, Qabil ran away from who? From, if Qabil was still living near his dad, then the dad, which is Adam, the grandpa, which is Adam, and the uncles and the aunts will teach the kids, right? But he ran away. So, here we go. Kids are growing, having absolutely nobody to teach them except the very bad example of Qabil. And he wasn't fair with them. He used to encourage the ones that have bad characters. And, you know, one of his children was very nice and very kind and has a golden heart. He used to make fun of him. Oh, you look like your stupid uncle, Habib. You know what? I don't like you. The other guy was so mean and ugly. He used to tell him, yes, you look like me. I like you. Yeah, you're so strong. You're mean. You're powerful. Or, you know. And he used to sit down, Yasara. He used to encourage his kids to be bad. And make fun of the good and encourages the bad. Teaches the bad and don't teach the good. He didn't teach them how to pray. He didn't teach them how to do any of the worship of Allah. He didn't teach them about Allah. Actually, what he told them, that he was very unfair with him, that he did not give him what he deserved, that he deserved it to be he deserved it better than that, and God did not give him what he deserved. Qabil thinks highly of himself. He thinks that he should have been the king, and he should have been the center of the universe, and he should have been the richest, and he should have been the most powerful, and Allah, you know, wasn't fair with him, and he didn't give him that. Huh? Yes. So, here we go. Qabil, okay, that's what he taught his children. That the Creator is unfair. That the Creator deserves to be punished by ignoring him. Because he's not fair with them, but with their dad. because he did not give their dead what he deserves, and he shouldn't even they shouldn't even bother about worshiping him. That's even, you know, not a question at all. That wasn't even something that they will think about. They didn't even have respect to Allah, not to mention worship Allah. You know, to worship Allah, first of all, you need to have what?
Respect
to Allah. He didn't even teach his children to respect Allah. He didn't teach his children the power of Allah. He didn't tell them about Allah and his power. And that earth, which is the floor that they are living on, and this sky, which is the ceiling or the roof that is protecting them, and all these trees and water and air, he doesn't say, we are breathing the air of Allah, we are drinking the water of Allah, we are eating the food of Allah, we are living on the floor of Allah, which is the house. Allah created the sun to give us light and heat. Allah has created the moon and the stars to guide us. Allah has created animals for us to ride on, so that it carries us when we travel, and we take the leather of the animals, and we build tents, and we make clothes, and we eat the food, and we drink the milk of the animals. He did not teach them all of that. He taught them that these things are available anyway. They are available what?
Anyway,
and they should take advantage of it, and they should what? Take advantage of it, and, you know, there's nothing for, you know, there's no reason to thank Allah for. What did Allah do for us? He didn't do much for us. Okay? So he did not teach them even respect to Allah. They grow up, a whole generation, an entire branch of the human family growing up in the valley, totally away from Allah. Have no respect to Allah, completely ignoring Allah, ignoring his religion, as though there is no Allah. Just imagine, if any one of them has a temptation, if any one of them has a what? Temptation. Why shouldn't he enjoy his temptation and do whatever evil thing he's thinking about? We fight our temptations because we are afraid of who?
Allah.
Allah, right? So what help us fight our temptations, what make us strong against our temptation, is that when we remember that there is Allah, and there is Jannah, and there is hellfire, we say, okay, that helps us, that we should fight temptations in order to avoid hellfire, in order to please Allah and go to Jannah. And when we do something, we want to do something to prove to Allah that we're good. Okay? And we are trying to prove to Allah that we deserve His mercy, and we deserve to go back to Jannah. To go what? Back, because we started in Jannah, and we deserve to go back to Jannah, which was our house. Okay? Now, those guys grew up, and these principles and concepts is totally absent from their mind and heart. When they have a temptation, they have no reason to fight the temptation. Why should they fight temptations? Give me one reason. If one of them has a temptation of selfishness, one of them used to have food, and another one is hungry. He comes to him and says, please give me some food, I'm so hungry, I have so much. He says, why should I give you? Give me one reason, why should I give you? I worked hard for this food. Actually, they would throw the food in the trash and say, I will throw the food in the trash and not give it to you. Why should I give it to you? Actually, you're bothering me, you're bugging me. I wish that you don't die, you don't eat, so that you die and I get rid of you. The earth will be better without you. Okay, and then they become mean. They say, okay, you want some food? Okay, you need to clean this, and you need to wash this, and you need to do that. And they used to abuse each other. And then, you know, in the absence of Allah, temptations will take over. And everything in their community, in their what? Community was controlled by temptations. Everything was controlled by temptations. They thought, they acted according to temptations. They made decisions according to temptations. They thought about nothing but temptations. How to please the temptations as much as they can get away with. As much as what? The only thing that will stop them from going to the extreme was that they are afraid of punishment. They are afraid of what? For example, one of them was to take the money of his neighbor, right? But the only reason he's not doing it is because he's afraid that his neighbor has a weapon and he's going to what? Kill him if he takes his stuff. So the only reason he's not stealing things from his neighbor is because he's afraid of who? Allah? No, he's afraid of who? His neighbor. See? He's afraid of his neighbor. The only thing that prevents them from doing something evil is they couldn't understand anything except the language of power. The language of what?
Power.
If I am, if you have power, then I'm afraid of you. Then I will respect you. Then I will be nice and kind with you. Even if you are mean with me, I will swallow your meanness. Why? Because I'm afraid of your power. That's it. They had no sense of Allah and fear Allah and going to Jannah or any one of those things. Can you set up the thermostat, Muhammad? AC thermostat over there. So, here we go. What do you expect from a community like this? What? They will follow righteousness? Huh? They will establish righteousness? They will... thermostat is over there, yeah, Muhammad. Muhammad? Muhammad, thermostat is over there. What do you expect from a community like this? Huh? To be ruled by Allah, by the guidance of Allah, or to be ruled by shaitan? Ruled by shaitan. Shaitan had no problem at all. See, shaitan was able to achieve a completely evil community from the second generation. Do you believe it? The grandfather is Adam. The grandfather is who? Muhammad, come here. The grandfather is who? Is Adam. And he was able to achieve a completely evil community from what? The second generation on earth. It didn't take more than two generations to have a completely evil community. And that's it. Here we go. Now, one of the evil things that they do, they used to do bad alerts. Like they do throw bad parties. And shaitan taught them all kinds of bad things. Like he taught them the music and dancing. Shaitan, humans didn't know the music. Shaitan brought some of these objects to them. And then shaitan taught them how to hit the objects together. And how to make a stick and hit on them. And how to make a drum from the leather of the animals. How to stretch the leather of the animals and make a drum. And then boom, 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 do hit on the drum. Shaitan told them how to convert the grapes, the what?
Grapes
into wine. The grapes, which is a beautiful, sweet fruit that Allah has given us. We take it and we convert it to something evil that Allah doesn't like, which is wine. Shaitan told them how to make wine. Shaitan taught them how to use girls and women to earn money. So a guy will make a party, will hire a group of ladies, and those group ladies will show their body, and he will make a party, and all the bad guys will come to this party because the bad guys are interested in the bad girls, and he brings together bad girls and bad guys. When they party, they pay money, and he collects the money. And here we go. We had nightclubs where people drink and do bad alerts and practice all kind of bad alerts. And we had ladies who, at the beginning, he came to a lady and he told her, okay, this lady did need money and she was deserted and she was homeless. So shaitan came to her and told her, do you want to build yourself a good future? She said, yes. He said, okay, I have a good idea for you. If you move your body in such a way to attract other males, other men, they will come to you and they bring to you money and food and gold. So she said, how? They told her, okay, first of all, you have to show the contours of your body. You have to wear very tight clothes. to show your breast and your body, and then you walk like this, and then you pull your skirt up like that. Yes, I want to show that so that girls know. If they do that, they are following the footsteps of who? Who taught the music the first time? Shaitan. Who caused Adam and Eve to be naked? Who made Adam and Eve naked? Shaitan. Shaitan loves to uncover the shame, the shameful parts of the body. And he is the one who taught dancing. He is the one who taught partying. He is the one that taught all these bad, evil things. Now, remember, we have two distinct generations. We have a generation high on the top of the what? And we have a generation low on the valley, on the bottom of the valley. From very high, the top of the mountain, very high moral values, very high Islam, very high righteousness, very good Muslims on the top, to horrible, evil people in the very bottom of the valley. And I guess Allah meant it to be this way, high and low. Now, one guy from the top of the valley lost his, you know, lost one of his horses. And he loved those horses. So he went down looking for this horse. He saw that the horse ran down to the valley, so he went to the valley. And he didn't know that there was anybody there. I guess he didn't watch CNN. Why didn't he watch CNN? There was no CNN. Good job. Okay, why didn't he talk on the wireless phone to see where? Oh, there was no phones. There were no satellites. There were no communications. He had... Why didn't he read the newspaper? There was no newspaper. He had absolutely no idea what is going on down there in the valley. And he went looking for his horse. And while he was looking for his horse, those bad guys down the valley, they were throwing a big party where all the men are getting drunk and all the women are taking off their clothes. One of these very nasty, filthy parties. And he came on the sound of the music. Boom, ba-da-bum, boom, bum. So, wow, that sounds good. And he kept following the music, until he arrived to this location. And he said, wow, look at all. Of course, all the women up the mountain are naked or wearing hijab. They're all wearing scarves, long sleeves, long clothes. And all of them, were they serious when they deal? When men and women deal with each other, they deal serious business. They deal what?
Serious.
Do they deal serious business or do they flirt with each other?
Smart.
When they talk what? Seriously. When they deal with each other, they deal what? Seriously. No playing, no flirting. Between men and women. But down there, women are different. They are flirting, saying nasty words, making nasty movements, and attracting all the men to them with nasty stuff. So he really was like, wow, those are women? Oh, wow, I like these women. I don't like these women, because he was so bad and evil. And then he liked the dancing and he liked the parties. And he spent 3 days down there. And he really loved it. Of course, no prayers, no reading from the holy book that Prophet Adam had. Yes, Lina? Sure, sweetheart. Yes. After Prophet Adam died, his son was name was Sheet. His son name was what?
Sheet.
Just remember that. Sheet of paper. Remember that. So his son was what?
Sheet.
Sheet ibn Adam, he was hired to be the king and the boss and the judge of all humanities after Adam died. And he was the prophet. And he, Allah sent him scriptures. Allah sent him 60 sections or 60 sahifa. Sahifa is like a big sheet of material that has things written in it. And this is why we say عَلَّمَ بِالْقَلَمْ in Surah Al-Iqra' اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم. Read and your Lord is the one who taught with the what? Pen. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the pen to write on sheets and then send those sheets where? Down the earth. Okay? So, what happened then is he used to receive these sheets. He received 60 sheets. With 60 sheets, had 60 scriptures, or 60, let's say, 60 surahs. 60 what?
Surahs.
So, basically, what happened is that they used to read them, they used to remember Allah, they used to pray, when they used to have clean fun. They used to have what? Clean fun. Is fun haram? No. What is haram is dirty fun. What is haram is what?
Dirty fun.
But clean fun is what? Halal. Okay. That's number one. That's number one. Number two is halal fun is good only when you finish your duties. Only when you finish your what?
Duties.
Should you sacrifice your homework to get some playtime?
No.
No. So, as long as you are meeting your goals, when you set your daily goals in the morning, you set reasonable, good goals so that you make achievements every day. Once you finish your goals, then playing becomes halal. Okay. However, if you slack down and waste your time and don't achieve your goals, or you don't even set goals to start with, and you just want to play, and you're not learning something new every day. Did you write your goals today? Did you?
Wait, no.
See, you have been not writing your goals for a very long time.
But I've been working.
When was the last time you wrote your goals?
Like
when was the last time, Sarah, you wrote your goals?
That there's people around, you're having a
okay. Thank you for alerting me. Okay? Alright. Back to the dars. Then halal fun. Up the mountains they used to have what?
Up the mountains they used to have halal fun.
Halal fun is what? Clean or dirty?
Clean.
Now down the mountains they used to have haram fun. Have to what? Haram fun. Haram fun is clean or dirty?
Clean.
Dirty. Okay. So, dirty fun Allah hates and punishes for. Clean halal fun Allah likes and Allah rewards for. So those who seek halal fun, they get hasanat. They get what? And the companions of Prophet Muhammad were surprised to know that. And they asked Prophet Muhammad, they say, "Oh Prophet Muhammad, we are having fun and we're getting hasanat." Prophet Muhammad said, "Yes, because if you go and seek dirty fun, wouldn't you get sayyid? Wouldn't Allah give you sayyid?" They said, "Yes." He said, "Then when you stay away from the dirty fun and you focus on the clean fun, Allah gives you hasanat." Just by rejecting the dirty fun and just by seeking the clean fun, this in itself is an act of worship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards for. Okay? But if you don't care, you mix fun, dirty, clean, whatever is available, then you don't get rewarded for the clean fun and you get punished for the what? So, Sarah, come here. So for the clean fun, if you're not seeking the clean fun, if you're mixing clean fun with dirty fun, you don't get rewarded for it. Why? Because it doesn't make a difference to you. You get punished for the dirty fun, you don't get rewarded for the clean fun. Okay? So, stay only on the clean fun. Anyway, he liked that dirty fun. He said, "Dirty fun is more fun. And I want to stay here, I'm not going up there." Then, after a while, he missed his wife and children and all of that. So, he said, "Okay, let me go up and tell them what is happening." So what he did, he traveled again up the mountain back home. This time he carried with him the news. So he went up there and he gathered all the children of Adam and he told them, I have seen down there wonders. I was in the wonders land. I was what? Sarah, can you please come here? I was where? Wonders land. There were this music and parties and blah, 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 blah. And it's so exciting. It's very boring here. I can't stand it over here. Look at this. All women are serious. All women are wearing hijab. There's no music. There's no parties. There's no fun. We just pray and just play. These playing that I'm not interested in. And these sports and we go hunting. But over there, you have a lot more to choose from. You can use your time to get more. You can spend more quality time. And he started teaching all the other humans about down. They got them to love the valley before they even go to the valley. So they fell in love with the what? The valley before they what? Even see it. And remember that the ears love before the eyes. What do you mean the ears love before the eyes? What do you mean? When you hear about something, before you see it, you love it because you have been hearing what? Wonderful things about it with your what? Ears. So that's what we mean by the ears love before the eyes see and love. So, humans, he said, I am moving. I am moving down. And he backed up all his stuff, got all his horses and camels and his family. And he said, bye, you guys are boring, I'm going down. And he went down to live with the bad guys. Slowly by slowly, one family after another was going down. Every day, 5-10 families are going where? Down, down. It's easy to slide down, but it's very hard to go back what? Up. And the righteous people on the top of the mountain are decreasing or increasing?
Decreasing.
Decreasing very rapidly. And the people, the number of people on the valley are increasing?
Rapidly.
Las Vegas down here and Mecca up there. Okay. Everybody wants to go to Las Vegas. Nobody wants to go to Mecca. Only very special, high-quality people. And remember that Allah made Mecca a city that doesn't offer anything except spiritual food. Except what? Spiritual food. If Mecca has scenic places, then when you go to Mecca, your intention will not be pure. Your intention will be what? Why did Allah pick a place in the middle of the desert? So when you go there, you really have no other reason to go except for who?
Allah.
Now, why is that? So when you really go, it's for sure you're going for Allah.
So it's not going there to for Allah / and dash, seeing, going swimming.
Yes, like having a spa or a vacation or whatever. Another thing, why is it that the prayer is so, is so sometimes unenjoyable? Why? If the prayer was fun, if the prayer was what? If the prayer is like singing, if our prayer were like the Christian prayer, where they what? Sing. Then, when Christians go to the church and sing, are they singing because they enjoy singing? Or are they singing to worship Allah?
It could be both, but it's not.
But still not pure. But when you come to the masjid and you're not singing, you're praying. Really, our prayer is obviously, you don't get anything other than, it's a complete, pure dedication to who? Allah. And this is why Allah chooses His worship to be always okay, associated with sacrifice and patience. Associated with what?
Sacrifice and patience.
And patience. Sometimes, sometimes Even very good people don't get to enjoy every prayer. Why? Because Allah wants to test them. Are you praying because you enjoy the prayer, because you cry and your heart feels, you know, the happiness? You know, when you are in the prayer and you're very close to Allah and you're crying, your heart is so happy. Your heart is, it's a lot of joy. Sometimes Allah will test the righteous people and take this away from them to see if they're going to quit the prayer or not. Of course, Allah knows, but Allah wants to demonstrate to all His creation that those people will pray whether they enjoy it or they don't. So we're going to Mecca whether we will get something or we don't. Good. So now, here we go. We have Mecca, Las Vegas. Everybody's deserting Mecca and going to Las Vegas. Now, Las Vegas, Shaitan has established a good kingdom. A good what? And that is what the Shaitan exactly wants. He said, I am going to establish my kingdom on earth, and I am going to recruit my own soldiers from among the children of Adam that you asked me, the Shaitan, to bow down to. I will show you that they didn't deserve me to bow down to them. You wanted me to bow down to them? Look, he has eaten from the tree and disobeyed you. He doesn't deserve me to bow down to him. You're wrong. You shouldn't ask me to bow down to him. And I'll show you all his children. We'll build my kingdom. We'll work in my kingdom. We'll establish my kingdom. We'll serve in my kingdom. And I will show you that I am going to use their brains and muscles to build my kingdom. I'm going to recruit soldiers from among them. Soldiers that I'm going to use to punish any reformer. Any reformer who tries to spread righteousness will be punished by who? By my soldiers. Who's saying that?
Shaitan.
That's right. And Shaitan did say that to Allah, and he sweared by Allah. He said, I swear by you, I am going to recruit them, I am going to use them, and I am going to establish my kingdom on earth. Allah said, any soldier of yours, anybody who choose to participate in your kingdom, is going to go with you, all of you, together into hellfire. And I don't care. Does that decrease anything from Allah? Does that do anything? Do Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wealth go down? Yes, we still have 5 more minutes and then we will come. It's not going to decrease the wealth of Allah. So, here we go. The families are moving from Mecca to Las Vegas. One by one by one. And the Shaitan kingdom is growing down in the valley, and Allah's kingdom is decreasing where? Up in the mountain. Then what happens? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides to send Prophet Idris. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides to send who? Prophet Idris. Why? Because there was so much momentum for the Shaitan. Shaitan was able to establish a strong kingdom, and Shaitan was able to recruit strong muscles and very brilliant brains to build a very attractive, strong, good kingdom down on the valley. And a lot of people will be tempted. A lot of people, even if they are not bad, when they have a little bit of pressure, some people will push for bad. Some people will push for what? Evil. And other people will be pushed into evil. Right? And in such an environment where the kingdom of Shaitan is so strong, those people will join the evil kingdom just because they don't have much choice. Okay? And other people are wishy-washy. You know, wishy-washy, neutral. You know, whatever horse is winning, they ride. If the horse of righteousness is winning, they jump on it. And if the horse of evil is running, they jump on it. And Allah talked about them in Surah Al-Ankabut. Allah said, some people are straddling the fence. Some people are what? Straddling the fence. They say we believe and give it a shot. And give it a what? If they make money and benefit from being Muslims, they stay and continue. But if Allah tests them with a calamity or with a hardship or require them to give sacrifices, then what do they do? Ziw. They do what? Ziw. Quit. So anyway, in the presence of such a strong kingdom of shaitan, a lot of people will fall down. Not because they are evil, but because maybe they don't have much choice. Maybe because they are kind of neutral. Maybe they are not neutral. They are on the good side. But where are they going to go? They are putting pushed into it. Allah decides to send Prophet Idris. Prophet Idris is one of the soldiers of Allah. And his job was to refix humanity. Remember, Shaitan was able to achieve the evil generation after the evil community after how many generations?
Two.
Which are the children of who? Qabil. Right? So, Qabil and all his branch of the tree, who grew up in the valley, away from Daddy Adam in the mountain, all that community was the seed for the kingdom of the shaitan. And this seed grew up to be a very strong evil tree. And now, everybody is falling down. So Idris came to the people on the top, which were living where Adam was living on the top of the mountain. And then Idris alayhi salam started working with them and started elevating them, started bringing them closer to Allah, started bringing hopes, yes, started bringing hopes to their hearts. Because when Prophet Idris came, they were so desperate, they were so hopeless, and they said, we will just live in these caves until we die, and that will be the end. They couldn't do anything. If they would just try to do anything, they would be killed. They had absolutely no choice but to live into these mountains like wild animals until they die, and that's it. So when Prophet Idris came to them, he gathered them from the caves and he brought hope back into their heart. He revived their heart. He revived their faith. He got them again back connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he was able to establish a seed. He was able to establish a seed for the kingdom of Allah. And then how was he able to fix the rest? Inshallah will be the topic of next Friday. Do you have any questions before we conclude?
No.
Okay. Questions? Alright. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for listening. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you.